Is the pop quiz songs about the weather?
No.
Oh, could have done that as the theme, really, couldn't we, this week?
Could have. No, she's older than me. Can't believe this. Tiffany. Happy birthday to Tiffany. She was born on this day in 1971.
I think we're alone now.
Yeah, well done.
Is that the...
That wasn't... Well, oh. No, I was going to say that was the UK number one single. Can you tell me which year it reached number one?
1988.
Well done.
I remember playing it on Radio Caroline.
Well done. Okay, question number two. On this day in 1960... Morris Williams and the Zodiacs entered the US charts with which song, which became the shortest US chart topper in rock and roll history at just 1 minute 37 seconds?
Not B. Bumble and the Stingers.
No.
I've heard this one before, but no, I'm not going to get it. Go on.
Stay was the name of the song. And finally, who had a hit on this day in 1995? It was Single of the Year, Song of the Year and Best Pop Release. And it was entitled Where the Wild Roses Grow.
Nick Cave and Kylie Minogue.
Yes, I'll give that to you.
Which one you'll give that to me?
Well, it should be Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds and Kylie Minogue. But I'll give that.
God.
2 out of 3, not bad for a Friday.
Can you spell pedantic as well? hello to Alex. Yes, it's all your fault.
What is?
Storm Alex.
Oh.
Alex says this is his guilty pleasure. As far as emotions go, The Carpenters and Rainy Days and Mondays. At least it's not Monday.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You've got it, we've got it. Storm Alex, it's lashing with rain in Cobham and lashing with rain in Monaco as well.
It is absolutely pouring with rain. There's no doubt about that. There's no surprise. The summer has completely disappeared from our skies and the rain's set to fall, I think, for the next 2 weeks or something dreary and miserable like that at
two
a time.
2 weeks?
Of course, well, that's the forecast, but who knows where we go from here. I don't think how reliable those long-term forecasts are, but we have to wait and see. But if you look at the sky state, it's all looking pretty miserable.
Well, this is Friday, best day of the week.
That may be so. Of course, lots for the markets to digest with the news from President Trump overnight. So perhaps we should get into it. Confirmation that President Trump has tested positive for COVID-19. Changed the complexion of the trading session today. There's no doubt about that. The news adds a further layer of uncertainty at a crucial time against the backdrop of the election. The news may have implications, we know, for his ability to carry out his duties. Campaigning process this week. Well, over the course of the next few days, he was due to hold rallies in key battleground states. That, of course, may not happen now. Second presidential debate is not too far away. What does it mean in terms of the stimulus negotiations? Suggesting that the relaxation of COVID-19 restrictions in the United States may take longer and perhaps even add to the friction on those US-Sino relations as well. So lots for investors to try and digest this morning. We should know, of course, we don't know what the medical implications are specifically for the president. It's hard to gauge exactly what it means for political, public opinion support. So again, very early days in many of those factors, but markets have reacted in the past hour or so. There's the old saying in markets that uncertainty is worse than war and famine. Investors have moved to reasonably aggressive, perhaps aggressive is too far, but certainly risk-off mode. Equity futures have been selling off, flows into the dollar and safe haven assets, particularly Japanese yen and treasuries. Volatility index has been rising. Crude prices have been falling. Brent trading below $40 a barrel this morning was off 3.5%. It's come back a bit from that in the last few minutes, but still down significantly on the session. And gold has erased an earlier decline. So significant market reaction today.
Yeah, I'm fairly surprised that the market reaction has been so negative because, I mean, presumably, if the worst comes to the worst, there would be a smooth transition of power. Mike Pence would become president for the remaining term. And would the election go ahead, though? That's the whole thing. Is he gone? Hello? I don't say that's packed up now as well.
Oh, it would appear so.
What do you think?
hello.
Are you there? I think we're reflecting.
I've lost you. I'm back with you now. Sorry, I missed. Yeah. I think I missed an element. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I was just saying that so I was quite surprised the market reaction has been so negative, given there would be a smooth transition of power if the worst came to the worst.
Yeah, but that's such a dramatic concept. to take on. The idea that we're not talking about a Biden or Trump presidency for the next 4 years is an awful lot to consider. What does that mean in terms of policy? What does that mean in terms of international relations? What does that mean in terms of the chances of either candidate winning or losing? It's huge even to, you know, to consider that at this stage. And would the election still go ahead? I mean, that is such a dramatic concept. I don't think we're anywhere near that point. So I think markets are a little bit cautious at this stage. I don't think they've moved into that type of debate or analysis.
No, okay, but he seems to be. He says he's okay at the moment. But I mean, what would happen if he did die in office? I mean, that is quite a major talking point, isn't it? I mean, would the election go ahead? I know the Congress has the power to delay an election, but maybe another Republican would throw their hat into the ring. Maybe Mike Pence would stand, or maybe somebody else.
Listen, our thoughts and prayers are certainly very much with the president and his family. And should we say, all those who are living and dealing with what has obviously been a horrific time for many families around the world. So listen, let's not jump the gun on that. I don't think markets are pricing in that by any means. You have seen some movements in terms of expectations around the elections. But as I say, our main thoughts are, of course, with the president and his family at this time.
OK, other big matter in the United States today, the non-farm payroll numbers.
Yeah, today's main focus was set to be that September employment report from the United States. Remember, it's the last employment report before the election, therefore its significance may well be amplified. We expect the data to show the labour market recovery continued, but it's losing momentum, thereby increasing pressure on lawmakers trying to agree that second stimulus package. Despite signs of faster than expected recovery is slowing, we still estimate the US unemployment rate will finish this year at 7.4%. By the end of 2021, we forecast the unemployment rate will be down to 5.6%, which is obviously considerably higher than the pre-pandemic level, but certainly a significant improvement on the 14.7% that was registered in April, which was the highest since the Great Depression. The improving labour market, along with rebounding consumer confidence and retail sales, should provide support for the recovery in an economy that's primarily driven by consumer spending. In terms of the numbers today, what to expect? We expect non-farm payrolls to have increased by 750,000. That's down from the 1.37 million the month before. The private payrolls to rise by 800,000. Look for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 8.4%.
And to concerns over the implementation of the EU Recovery Fund, Henk.
Yeah, with concerns it could be delayed as Germany warned that disputes over governance means it won't be operational by the 1st of January deadline, putting pressure on the continent's battered economies that, of course, desperate for the funds. EU governments are reportedly split over time disbursements to the adherence of democratic standards on concerns that funds would be misappropriated. Countries such as Hungary and Poland are opposing the rule of law conditions and may refuse to ratify, allowing the European Commission to raise 750 billion euros of mutualised debt. Is obviously a key part of that deal. Requires unanimous approval from all member states, simple majority of EU lawmakers. Remember, this recovery fund is been put in place, or hopefully it'll be put in place, to help the most vulnerable southern European economies, but also demonstrates a commitment to much greater levels of fiscal integration, a decision that's seen as reducing the fragmentation risk in Europe. So very much headlined as a game changer, this, but as we know, there was always going to be some concerns around implementation, and Germany very much highlighting those.
Remember the Budget Stability Pact?
Yes, I do remember that. European Stability Pact.
That's out the window, isn't it?
It's all gone a little bit awry in the current market conditions. That's absolutely right.
I think France's budget deficit will be 8% of GDP this year. That's what they're estimating.
Okay, and under the rules, it was, what, 3%?
It should be 3%, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's, different times call for different measure. There's no doubt, of course, the aggressive fiscal response is incredibly important to get us through this time of turmoil.
Well, it just shows that the European Union is going to have to change its fiscal attitude, doesn't it? Because, I mean, countries will never be able to stick to 3% of GDP for many years to come.
Yeah, I think that's right. And certainly those that have greater ability to use some of that fiscal strength, the likes of Germany, puts them in a stronger position. But the idea of coming together from a European perspective and trying to solve the problems, as I say, certainly seems incredibly important from a market perspective and important in terms of maintaining the credibility of the European project.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar trading just below 129 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 117. Going to get under just under €1.10 for your British pound this morning. Opening calls on the European bourses are down this morning. It looks like we're going to be down around about 1% at the open. Well, we're four and a half minutes away from that now.
So you'll be taking it down a notch this weekend, self-isolating at Potts Towers, so watching a bit of golf, your favourite course where you've had a nightmare on so many of the greens of the Scottish Open.
I do love the Scottish Open. Golf from Scotland is lovely. It was an easy day yesterday. They shot some incredible scores. Lee Westwood was on fire yesterday. Would love to see him win in Scotland. So I will be watching a little bit of that, but we wait to see, of course, how developments over the course of the weekend play out. Could well be a busy one from a work perspective.
Okay, thank you very much. Talk to you Monday.
Enjoy your weekend.
Henk Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyson has the top stories across the Riviera.
The Alpes-Maritimes Prefecture has announced that all schools in the department will be closed today due to Storm Alex. Meteo France has issued alerts in the Var and the Alpes-Maritimes as the storm is set to bring bad weather to much of France. An orange alert for storms is enforced from 6 a.m. to midday for both the Var and the Alpes-Maritimes, which then becomes a red alert for the Alpes-Maritimes until 3 a.m. on Saturday morning. For live updates on Storm Alex, you can go to www.windy.com. Meanwhile, here in the Principality, schools are to remain open. In other news, France's Health Minister Olivier Véran has announced that several major cities in France, including Paris, could from next week be classified as maximum alert zones due to the circulation of COVID-19. According to the minister, the situation is getting worse in Lille, Lyon, Grenoble, Toulouse and Saint-Étienne, with new measures expected to be introduced from Monday the 5th of October. Figures show that in each of these areas, the incidence rate has sharply increased, along with the number of positive cases. However, Olivier Véran said that there were encouraging signs in Bordeaux, Nice and Marseille, with the situation improving. Meanwhile, the president of the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur region has called for bars to be allowed to remain open, calling for more checks to be carried out by the authorities concerning the implementation of social distancing measures. Speaking to French media this morning, Renaud Muselier said it was unfair that while many bars were respecting the health measures, others were completely ignoring them and should therefore face immediate closure. In national news, the Pasteur Institute in Lille has confirmed the discovery of a very promising drug in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic. As infection rates climb in many European countries, including France, the Pasteur Institute in Lille recently confirmed the discovery in June of a drug molecule that has shown promise as a therapeutic treatment against the virus. Like hydroxychloroquine, which was controversially claimed as a possible treatment early on in the pandemic, it's not a new medicine, but one that has been used in the past to treat other conditions. Its name has been kept a closely guarded secret, largely to avoid the same media frenzy that surrounded hydroxychloroquine before it was largely discredited. The unnamed drug has already undergone a number of laboratory studies, which found that it demonstrated considerable power against the virus, according to Dr. Benoît Desprez, a scientific director of the Pasteur Institute in Lille. Meanwhile, President Emmanuel Macron has said that what he called the battle against the virus would be won. Addressing business leaders at a forum in Paris on Thursday, he called on businesses to relaunch, and not to give up. The auctioning of the first 5G frequencies in France has generated €2.7 billion to the state, with operator Orange obtaining the largest share. Initially scheduled for April, but postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the auction has enabled operators such as Orange, SFR, Bouygues Telecom and Free to acquire 11 blocks of frequencies that are currently unused. Finally, Clara Burel has become the youngest French woman in 12 years to reach the third round of Roland Garros. Burel's victory on Thursday lifted the mood in the French camp after Gaston became the only French man to advance from round two. Burel is the youngest French woman to reach that stage since Alice Cornet, who was 18 at the time in 2008.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
And tennis is where we start. Novak Djokovic has cruised through to the third round of the French Open with a straight sets win over Ricardos Berankis of Lithuania. The world number one continued his dominant form and has lost just 10 games in his opening two matches. The fifth seed Stefanos Tsitsipas and the 11th seed Matteo Berrettini are also through. In the women's event, the second seed Karolina Pliskova is out. She was beaten by Yelena Ostapenko. The 11th seed Garbine Muguruza and Petra Kvitova are both through to round three. Don't think they're going to get much play today, Roland Garros, with the weather. Football. There were three fourth-round ties in the League Cup in England last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Arsenal beat Liverpool 5-4 on penalties in the fourth round of the English League Cup after the tie finished 0-0 after 90 minutes at Anfield. Arsenal keeper Bernd Leno was the difference, savouring from Harry Wilson and Divock Origi. The Gunners will host Manchester City in the quarter-final of the competition. The BBC's football correspondent John Murray was watching.
It's the second time this season Arsenal have won on penalties against Liverpool following their Community Shield success in August. And their goalkeeper Bernd Leno's two saves in the shootout topped off his man-of-the-match performance here. Leno making a series of second-half saves, most notably an agile reaction stop from Virgil van Dijk. Earlier, Minamino shot against the Arsenal crossbar when he should have scored. So after it ended goalless, Leno denied Origi and Wilson in the shootout, leaving it to Joe Willock to score the penalty that took Arsenal through to the last eight.
Elsewhere in the League Cup, second-tier side Brentford have been rewarded with a home tie against Newcastle after a 3-0 win over Fulham. While Aston Villa were beaten at home by Stoke City of the Championship, they will take on Tottenham. Everton will take on Manchester United in the other last eight tie. Meanwhile, Spurs are into the group stage of the Europa League after an emphatic 7-2 win over Maccabi Tel Aviv in the qualifying round. The group stage draw takes place on Friday. New Chelsea left-back Ben Chilwell is confident they can improve their defensive record once he and fellow new signings Thiago Silva and Edouard Mendy get familiar with each other. Chilwell has returned from injury in hopes to make a difference.
We're working a lot on the training pitch, you know, defensively, in terms of, you know, conceding goals and hopefully conceding less goals from set pieces and open play. So we're working hard on that, and you know, hopefully when we kind of build that team chemistry a bit more over the next few weeks and everyone kind of starts training more and getting back to match fitness and you know, everyone's kind of together a bit more, it should start to gel nicely.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
You're not singing anymore.
Oh, come off it.
What do you mean, come off it?
Well, you didn't do much better.
Well, no, but I've been on the receiving end all season, so it's about time you took a bit of punishment.
You didn't leave me alone. I didn't say anything.
In the English Premier League this weekend on Saturday, Chelsea play Crystal Palace.
Oh,
I've got a bad feeling about that. I've got a bad feeling about that. I agree with you.
So you should, yeah.
Everton against Brighton.
Everton.
Yeah. Leeds against Manchester City. Could be interesting.
Man City.
I'm going to go for Leeds. And Newcastle against Burnley.
Well, I would have gone for Newcastle, but I'll go for Burnley.
What, because of Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right then. On Sunday, Leicester play West Ham.
That'll be a draw.
Really?
Yeah.
You said that Leicester at top of the table.
Yeah, but West Ham.
No, I don't think so. Leicester for me. No. Southampton against West Brom.
Go for Southampton.
I think that'll be a draw. Arsenal against Sheffield United.
Arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Wolves against Fulham.
Wolves, because they're going to win the Premier League.
Manchester United against Spurs.
Man United.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go for Spurs, stick my neck out. And Aston Villa against Liverpool. Come on, Villa.
This is going to get nasty. Thank goodness it's Friday. At Liverpool.
Yes, obviously. Formula One, more than 13,000 fans will be missed daily over the weekend of the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix in Italy between the 31st of October and the 1st of November. The race is taking place at Imola, which last hosted a Grand Prix in 2006. The circuit owners say the admittance of fans has been secured thanks to a meticulous anti-COVID health security protocol. Tickets for many areas of the circuit have already sold out. Rugby union, the England centre Manu Tuilagi has been ruled out for 6 months with a torn Achilles tendon. The 29-year-old was injured 12 minutes into Sale's premiership game in Northampton on Tuesday night and will miss England's remaining Six Nations game against Italy and possibly the entire 2021 tournament. The Guinness Pro 14 is back in action tonight. Three games to start the season. Zebra play Cardiff Blues, Leinster play Dragons and Ulster host Benetton. And in racing, the second favourite for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe has been ruled out of the race because of the heavy ground. Love had been considered to be the main rival to Enable, but all the filly's wins this season have been on good ground and her odds had been drifting. The latest betting for Europe's richest race makes Enable the 5-4 favourites, with Stradivarius at 5-1, Sotsas at 8, and In Swoop at 11-1.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Man, assuming the VAR, the general situation is Storm Alex, 990 millibars over the Gulf of Lyon, moving east. Winds are south-southeasterly, force 5 to 6, picking up to force 7 later. Now the sea is moderate, visibility is moderate, poor in showers. Barometric pressure at cap course, 1,000 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are south-southeasterly, force 5 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is moderate, poor in showers. Barometric pressure at cap course, 1,000 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 6 to gale, force 8 southerly winds, rough seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Yes, well, Sarah said it all, really. Going to go into a red alert in the Isle of Maritime for heavy rain and flooding from 12 o'clock. Both departments on orange alerts at the moment. Heavy rain and thunderstorms, moderate to strong southerly winds, and they're saying there could be some gusts of up to 140, 160 kilometres an hour later, mostly out at sea, though. Top temperature 21 degrees, overnight lows 16 degrees with more rain. The weekend partially cloudy with highs of 19, but with more rain expected by Sunday afternoon. Don't know what you're going to do this weekend. I'm not doing anything.
No, it'd be nice. No reason to go out. You can just stay under the duvet and watch films.
There's always a reason to go out.
When it's sunny, there is. The headline here, love this one. Dull nan nan nan.
Nan nan nan? Well, as in Indian bread or your nan?
As in Indian bread, a new takeaway owner has combined two great British traditions with the world's smallest curry house in a red telephone box. It opened this week in a disused kiosk, and the food is delivered twice a day from a local catering company and uses food warmers powered by electricity in the phone booth. The owner told reporters he wanted to honour the iconic British phone boxes with his new food venture. No one uses them anymore, so why not turn something useless into something useful?
I do like a naan.
I love the old telephone
cheese
boxes.
Naan.
Cheese, no, yeah. That's not proper, no. They have them over here, don't they? They don't have them back in the UK. Really.
Yes, they do. You can get
no,
cheese naan
not in
proper, England.
No.
Which means?
They don't.
Yes, they do.
In the proper Indian restaurants, they don't.
What's a proper Indian restaurant when it's at home?
Well, it's just proper Indian. Here, they put that awful vash curry
yeah,
curry
nice.
In it. Ugh, that's not...
Cheese naan is the business. Bit of sort of lime and chilli pickle with it. You're up to date.
Not
what's the matter with you today? Pull yourself together, honestly.